Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you
today. Happy Monday, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, And no big tragedies. At least they haven't revealed the real tragedies of the world, which are coming and we're in the midst of. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit today about the continuation complications from lockdown, and how the government is treating us. And we want to start off with talking about the lawsuit that made got a lot of national attention with the nurses and nursing personnel that didn't want the shot. You'd think they would know. And there were 117 filed suit, and there's a bunch more added to that that will have been threatened, and they've been suspended. If you don't take the shot, you're done.
Yeah.
They say, no, you're just suspended. And we're going to lecture. Then they get them together and they lecture. You should do this. You should do this for mankind and for your patients. Yeah. That's what bugs me. This is all for their patients. The ones that are protesting were ridiculed because they don't care about their patients. These women, mostly women nurses, and the people who do it, were taking care of all the COVID. And a lot of them already had COVID. Which should be, they should have immunity, but that means nothing. You have to have you have to have your passport. You have to have the vaccine. So they've been all kicked out. It's pending, and yet there was a ruling this week, and the case was dismissed. And the judge says there's not enough evidence. But we're going to talk a little bit about the evidence. The one piece of evidence that they don't talk about explicitly is the principle of liberty.
Yes.
And responsibility, and why does government have this much authority that they can intimidate and threaten and close down hospitals and look at how the schools got closed. Oh no, the federal government didn't do that. It was always some local school board, local community, some business person is clocking down. Now it's the hospitals. Hospitals have a right to regulate their labor force, but it all has to do with some sinister things that go on. Most of the time it's power and money, and I bet you if we dissect this out properly, we'll find out that power and money is involved in this mess.
Well, you know, the people who want to perpetuate this hysteria that's taken over the U.S. for the last 14 or so months, they're viewing this as a landmark case. All right, we're starting to recover. We had a little bit of a rough patch with Fauci stumbling and bumbling. Now we're going to come back. Now they love power, Dr. Paul, and they love authority and being authoritarians. So this lawsuit, the Texas Methodist Hospital, 117 hospital workers, and the crux of what they said, and the lead was Jennifer Bridges, who's a nurse, the lead plaintiff, and she said that forcing these workers to take an experimental shot, because it doesn't have full FDA approval, and we know that, forcing them to take this or lose their job is forcing them to actually act as human guinea pigs, to act as test subjects. They don't think that's fair. And the judge, the U.S. District Court Judge Lynn Hughes, he's a pretty controversial guy. He's been taken off many cases. He told one plaintiff on a sex discrimination case, "I'm going to crush you." This is before the case started. So you got to wonder about this person. I don't know that much about him. He doesn't look that great. But here's what it says. He says that the lawsuit's claim that vaccines are experimental and dangerous is false and also irrelevant. Well, how does he know that? Because by definition, they're experimental. They haven't been approved. And how is it irrelevant? You pulled out a number a second ago that according to the official database, which vastly undercounts them, over 5,000 Americans have died from the shot, it appears. So how is this irrelevant to people who say, "I don't want to be a guinea pig, I should have a choice"?
You know, the left comes out screaming if somebody asserts that this is somewhat similar to what the Nazis did, force people to go and do experimental drugs. Well, this is not quite like that. Yeah. This is not just experimental, but we need to do this. But you know, all things horrible start off easy, and it's always done for goodness and humanitarian reasons. And so that is sort of the way lockdown started, and look how outrageous that got. But so the principle here is very similar to what the Nazis did. Can people be forced to do certain things, against their will? And it isn't exactly the same in the sense that they seem to be want to be more sophisticated on how to do that. Oh, no, we would never do that. We'll blackmail you.
Yeah.
We will destroy you. We'll bankrupt you. We'll hurt your family. You're going to lose your job. You have to do it. And then they say, well, this is, a little bit different. But the principle is they're going to do something that still is at the stage of voluntarism. They should be absolutely given permission to do this and not be coerced into it. And it's turned into the biggest boondoggle maybe in history on when you talk about this is not just in the United States. This is spread around the world. I don't know if they've ever had an example of a hysteria so widespread and so damaging. And of course, we've seen some improvement, which we sort of report on all the time. At the same time, there's always something that comes back, like we always warn. Once we get this sort of win the fight against the lockdown to a certain degree, there'll be another crisis because they'll figure, boy, these people rolled over. Yeah. Did you notice how easy they rolled over for a vaccine passport? And some of them wanted it and feel good about it. And business people, the collaboration with big business, that's horrible, horrible. And we've talked a whole lot, and most people do realize that the pharmaceutical industry is, in bed with big government, and they're making a lot of money. So they don't want anybody to resist. So this might, maybe they've gotten 80% or 90% of the money they're going to make over these particular vaccines. But the whole idea that you have to submit and accept this national control through vaccinations, if you don't do it, then you're on another list, that is getting more and more established. And it's always to protect somebody else, the patient. And it's been pointed out so often is, if mask works, if the social distancing worked, and they take a vaccine, they're safe. Why worry about it? The person that didn't take it is the only one at danger. And yet they put all the blame on them. And even if they're protected, somebody's had the disease. The evidence is pretty strong throughout history about medicine. If you have a disease, you get immunity and you're pretty well protected from it. And that's probably the case here, but that's irrelevant. All the things that we gathered to look at this issue, they never mentioned that was a big concern. Well, these people probably can't spread it. They can't do anything. They're already protected. They might have better protection than if they had the vaccine. Yeah. The vaccine, and you already mentioned, the vaccines are not exactly benign.
Yeah, Senator Paul himself, I think last week we talked about it. He said he cited a new study that came out saying if you've had the COVID, you have better immunity through naturally, getting it. So what about how many of these 117 have already had the disease? They know they can't get it again. And so they say, well, why should I take this drug that I don't need? In history, forcing a drug on someone that they don't need is pretty bad news. Now, the other thing is, and I know that the left, and this is a politicized thing, we've talked about it over and over again, sadly, this has become a political football. I'm sure the left would like to use this as a precedent around the entire country, and it may end up being that. But the Washington Post article about this case, which we were looking at, they cite Veronica Stidvent, who's at the UT Law School, and she says the ruling is actually a little bit more narrow than you may think, because it's based specifically on Texas employment law rather than this sort of broader precedent. So it's unclear whether the precedent is utilizable elsewhere. The other thing that I questioned, Dr. Paul, and we made a big deal out of it last week, we gave a pat on the back to Governor Abbott because he signed that new law saying if you have vaccine passports in Texas, whether you're a private company, we don't care, we will not do business with you. And I don't know if Houston Methodist does business with the state. My guess is they do. So this will be Abbott's opportunity to actually put up or shut up. Is he going to stand up and say, okay, You violated this law, and there's going to be some consequences to it, or he's just going to hope it goes away.
Yes, and that's the technical part, which is the real thing behind it. But most people are thinking about, the vaccines and immunity and this sort of thing. The Houston attorney, Jared Whitfield, is the representative for the plaintiffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a point, so you have to use every point you can get. His whole point is, they do it all the time. They give exemptions to people. And he said, we're taking it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Good.
And he says, the hospital, and they're talking about Texas Methodist, the hospital allowed some employees to forego vaccination for religious reasons or medical concerns. 285 employees received a medical or religious exemption, while 332 were granted deferrals for pregnancy and other reasons. There's a little bit of flexibility here,
yeah.
Except if you're in this position where they're going to dramatize that we can't let this happen, there'll be too much independence, and this is a loophole. You can't allow that to happen. The one thing, though, the real reason is religious reasons and pregnancy and these sort of things. If that can help you, fine and dancy. But what about the civil rights that all individuals should have? Should they be blackmailed by quasi-government organizations like these drug companies and others? And if they don't go along with them, they can lose their jobs.
Yeah.
But it's a civil liberty issue, and you can. But the odds of being able to get very far in our courts today to deal with it on civil liberties, but that's really what's going on here. And when they talk about, experimentation, all that's important, but you made the technical point on why it was filed and had to do with an employment ruling.
Yeah, and a lot of the detractors will say, this is basically the equivalent of a dress code. You can't go to work, dressed in your jeans if you're in an office. But it's absolutely not that, and that's such a misstatement of things. We're talking about putting something in your body that may or may not be harmful. We can put that first clip up just to show the headline of what we're talking about. But we should move on to number two, which is related, and this is about perceptions, Americans' perceptions. And again, we notice this article that they are divided so strongly along political lines. It really says a lot with Democrats. I think the new survey says almost 80%, right, of Democrats surveyed believe that your employer has the right to force you to take this experimental medical treatment. Almost 80%.
Yes, and it's not politics, though. It has nothing to do with politics, except the divisions are pretty sharp.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about coercion, there tends to be a few more coercive people in the Democratic Party than the Republican. But it is a problem that is bipartisan, because the trouble we're in today is very bipartisan. So that is, in many ways, politics enter into it, whatever kind of a problem we have. And the other time this is done all the time is on the immigration.
Yeah.
Look how it's divided there, and it's very partisan. So that and money and power, I think we should have a rule against that, a voluntary rule to teach people to have a moral compass.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple things from this poll, because it is kind of interesting. It's a CBS News YouGov survey. Let's put up a couple of these things, because again, there is a political component to this. And of course, I would blame the mainstream media, who loves to divide us along political lines, and they do it for their own profit. But this says a lot. This is interesting. Comfortable going to a large event. All adults, or 45% of them, are comfortable. Fully vaccinated are 42. But this is interesting. People who said they'll never get this vaccine, 59% of them are perfectly happy going to a large event. And that tells you they haven't bought into this whole thing in the first place. Let's go to the next one. Let's go through these a couple quick. I love doing polls because it's fascinating. People that are comfortable going to a restaurant or bar, all adults 71, fully vaccinated 75, won't get vaccinated at all 79, almost 8 in 10 people who will not take the vaccine. They're fine going to a bar, they're fine going to a restaurant. But even looking at the other two categories, it does show that people are not cowering in fear as they were 3 or 4 or 5 months ago. Let's look at the next one really quick. Now this is an interesting one, Dr. Paul, because you remember, we almost joked about it. You go to Washington, you can get some marijuana. I forget what state was. You could get some beer. You could get a hamburger from Cuomo. Anywhere you want, they're going to give you something as long as they can put that shot in your arm. Well, it's not working that well. I think Americans maybe not as dumb as the leaders think they are. If offered a lottery ticket or a prize, would you consider getting a vaccine? And this is among those adults who won't get it or are still deciding. 84% said no way. They see through this gimmick, Dr. Paul, and they're not going to. A little bit of marijuana is not enough to convince them.
So they have two choices. Succumb to blackmailing or giving them a bit benefit. Blackmail, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. Or try to bribe them.
And you
get your choice. But back to, do I have a choice to take care of my own body? You know, the fact that there are some in this country, there's a segment of our society that believe that the government has no right to interfere with body functions, and yet they're all for this vaccination, forced vaccination. But the easy number for people to remember is 80% of the Democrats, they like this idea. 40% of the Republicans will go along with it. It's still way too high, and they have to sort it out eventually. Think that we got to figure out how is it coming about. It comes about because the government is so much involved and has so much power and authority, because they can cut off the funding anytime they want. Medical schools and hospitals, you wonder what percentage of their money comes from the government.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge, because all the Medicare, Medicaid, the whole works is government money. All the R&D, medical schools can't exist without the federal government. Or they say, isn't that good? Well, maybe for some, but eventually your system breaks down, and then you end up with the Faucis running it.
Yeah.
They're in government getting huge salaries. At the same time, they're running the medical profession and telling everybody when they should succumb to taking a shot. And whatever the government tells you, you have to do it. So it's a bad sign. There's no doubt about it. But I still think you have to separate medical care from the government. Matter of fact, if you had our size of government, there wouldn't be much separation necessary. It just would be assumed, oh, the government's there to give us a little protection or settle a dispute. But no, if you have government doing what we're doing now, you do that until you spend too much, you have to borrow too much, you have to print too much, and you get into trouble. So that just might happen one of these days, that we're spending too much and spending too much and printing too much.
Yeah. Well, we've had some small victories and we've celebrated them here, but definitely this is not time to let the guard down, because the authoritarians are not going to let up. In the next, our last segment for today, we're going to talk a little bit about why some of these nurses might be hesitant to do it, why not everyone wants to jump in and take this experimental shot. Some people want to sit back for various reasons. They may have assessed that their risk is very low, because if you're under 70, your risk is very low of getting ill. We know this statistically. And I have a couple of tweets from Alex Berenson, who we followed throughout the crisis, since it's turned out to be the most reliable of anyone on this, former New York Times reporter. So this is about a little under a month ago, 3 weeks ago. Let's put up this next one. And Alex writes, meanwhile, the CDC and the public health experts insist that post-vaccine myocarditis cases in young people are occurring at normal background rates. This is what they're 3 weeks ago. It's all normal. The heart inflammation is just normal background rates. And Alex says, this is false. I normally give myself wiggle room, but the data are unequivocal. They are not telling the truth. Just 3 weeks ago. And let's look at the next tweet. We found this out on Friday. Uh-oh. Friday, June 11th, CDC to hold emergency meeting after hundreds suffer heart inflammation following COVID vaccines. And do the next one really quick, because this is the actual announcement. Don't take our word for it. This is cdc.gov. June 18th, emergency meeting is a virtual meeting. And you can see the agenda is about the heart inflammation. So just after they said, hey, no, there's nothing here, nothing to see here, keep moving on, then they start panicking and hold this emergency meeting.
You know, and for months of last year, all the statistics coming out, unreliable, most of it just biased for a deliberate reason. And now some of the evidence that we're getting, you cite CDC, they're giving us the evidence to show this thing is all messed up. But it's still, you don't see that on major TV. Still must have a pretty big audience, because, you know, when you look at CNN and CNBC, NBC and other stations, the people still, they still want to roll over. They've been terrorized. They've been scared to death. And they're still, maybe that half or more are probably still intimidated by that. And they don't feel ashamed, or they don't question the sensibility of wearing these masks and doing all these things. It still happens. But that's what I guess this mass psychology can do to people, this intimidation and fear. Fear is the big thing. Scare the people. But that's been unknown for a long time. So if you want political fear to develop so you can go and fight and sacrifice all your kids in some stupid war someplace, teach everybody to be fearful. Teach the old people and elderly people and the bureaucrats in Washington that fear is necessary to keep them going, and then we'll send the kids. And yeah, it's the same way. In a way, it's similar in the sense that some of these kids now, they're forcing the kids who can't get the stuff.
Don't get
and
sick.
And now we're showing that they're getting this heart problem. Yeah. But they still have to get the vaccine, or they're trying to do it. Just, you know, all I can say is for myself, I look at it. Things are better, though.
Yeah.
You know, our governor changed a little bit. And but the people have to stand up there. That is the whole thing. It won't work. You need leaders. You need one or two standing up and saying something. And we have them. We recognize them. But eventually, the numbers have to be there. So when you have a town hall meeting on this, or a school board meeting, that's when there's been great successes.
Oh, yeah.
The one that I like the best is when the whole school board
and resigned.
And they appointed a new one.
Yeah, that's classic. Well, you know, the Vaccine Adverse Reaction database that's kept by the CDC, as we know, that's very, very underreported. We've seen example after example of doctors refusing to report what might be adverse reactions. But even with that being said, Dr. Paul, 800 reports of post-shot heart inflammation among young people. And sadly, to personalize it a little bit, Alex Berenson has a great thread this morning, and it's very hard to put it up because it's heartbreaking to see this. But let's look at this next clip here, if we can. Go to the next one, please. Yes, this is heartbreaking. A young gal, Simone Scott, 19 years old. She's at Northwestern starting school. She'd wanted to go to this university since he was a little kid. She looks like a super sweet young gal. Very, very sad. Freshman Simone Scott died Friday morning following a heart transplant. And Alex said, 19-year-old Simone Scott was excited to get her second dose of Moderna's COVID vaccine on May 1st. Now her mother, Valerie Kramer, is arranging her funeral. Let's look at the next tweet if we can. This is the last one. Her very sad. She suffered a case of apparent heart inflammation-induced heart failure on Sunday, May 16th. They took extraordinary measures to save her, including a heart transplant, but she died. Her parents are struggling to understand what happened. And this is where we talk about informed consent, Dr. Paul. The parents are completely, leave it up there, please, if you don't mind. The parents are completely taken by surprise. I lost my only daughter, the mother said. I never thought I'd have to give up my daughter for the greater good of society. Well, she's still drinking a little Kool-Aid there, but very sad. Doctors repeatedly missed the signals as Simone's condition worsened in the 2 weeks following her second shot. And he also points out, because Israel's a test case, because they went nuts with the vaccine. He said in mid-May, Israel was reporting high cases of mRNA vaccine-related heart inflammation in young people. So this is an example, Dr. Paul, the danger of propaganda. People like us, people like Alex and others who say, hang on a minute, there might be some questions about this. We're silenced, we're shut up. And what do you have then? You have parents like this poor woman's mother who had no idea there was any chance of her daughter getting sick. All she saw was a propaganda 24/7, safe, 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 do it. And now look, what a great service they did to this poor woman.
And the pharmaceutical companies have exemption from liability.
From liability.
They are not liable.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way, this is good information for people. Because if somebody's in the middle and had the first shot and had a reaction of any sort, or didn't have any reaction, you want to reassess it. If you exert your rights, you should be able to get out of doing this, because the people who got the heart problem was mostly second or third shot.
Yeah.
So, and this, the girl that passed away, she had a first time reaction.
Yes.
To me, it suggests, oh, we gave her a little bit of this medication and she had a pretty bad reaction, almost like anaphylaxis. So they give her another one.
Yeah. Duh.
You know, it's just stupid medicine. And they say that we who point this out using their records and the principles of medicine, yeah, you can't listen to those guys because they're not scientific.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to Dr. Fauci. He will present the science. And they just bowed to him now for over a year. And there continues to be a growing opposition, you know, to his, symbolically, it would be great. The individual, it's a little bit irrelevant, but the benefit of getting Fauci out of there would be great symbolism for people who will wake up and say, holy man, maybe there is some truth to the people that have warned about this. If Fauci has to go, it's really bad. But I think right now, that's why they're going to work desperately to keep him in there. He's still, I can't believe he's still on television after he's been totally discredited.
Yeah.
So that is real tragedy. And but truth is breaking out, and we want to encourage the best we can.
It is really the danger of propaganda. It really does cause lives. Not allowing there to be a broad discussion about these things, demonize the other group as anti-vaxxers. People aren't anti-vaxxer if they want to hesitate before they do it. Well, I'm going to sign off, Dr. Paul, if that's okay with you. And I'm signing off with something I sent over the weekend to our subscribers. And if you're not a subscriber to Ron Paul Institute Updates, please subscribe. I will add links in the description of this show to subscribe to our updates. But the big news, Dr. Paul, I know you're excited. I'm excited. We're going to hold two events in 3 weeks. So we're going to need a double dose of coffee.
You're not serious.
I'm serious. Actually, we're going to hold three events. But mark your calendars. We're going to have tickets hopefully for sale later today. First event, big event coming up, August 15th, Houston, Texas. We are going to mark the 50th anniversary of Richard Nixon closing that gold window. Dr. Paul is really excited about this. We've got Lou Rockwell and other special guests coming. It's going to be a very special event, a very special luncheon with very limited seating. So that will come out soon. And then, believe it or not, I can't believe it hardly, Dr. Paul, September 4th, Labor Day weekend, we are returning to the belly of the beast. We are returning to Washington Dulles area to hold our annual conference after missing one last year. This year, we're coming back with a vengeance, Dr. Paul. Our theme this year is the war on us, and it's all about civil liberties, looking particularly over the last year, violations and attacks on our civil liberties. It's going to be a great event. Mark your calendar. Subscribe to RPI so I can give you an update as soon as those tickets are on sale. We look forward to seeing you. It's always great, Dr. Paul, to get together with our friends in these conferences. It's all about getting people together. You know, the speakers are great. The topics are great, but it's also that downtime where you see people talking and discussing and sharing notes. Wow, I didn't know there are other people who think this way. And so you can tell I'm excited.
Very good. You know, I want to close by making a point that I've made before, but it has to do with responsibility. You know, the liberals that I've run into, and I did meet a couple in Washington, and then there's a few still over there, but they would justify it very sincerely. They were humanitarians, and they believed in helping people. And in a serious, non-confrontational setting, I could ask him a question. Well, why do you do this? This is, you know, a violations of the technical points of the Constitution, and you're doing more than you have to do by, you know, providing total welfare for the world and for immigrants and all this stuff. And they will say, well, if we don't do it, the average person is too dumb. And they've used those words to me. They say they're not smart enough, nor do they care enough to take care of themselves. And there are a bunch of people out there like that. And you say, well, that's the justification for government. So if there's a few out there, why, when we have a government solution to that, we pick from that group, generally, of people who believe in this, they pick them up and we send them to Washington, and they get to make the mistakes for everybody, not just the people who were making mistakes for themselves, and they will. They can become addict and different things and really mess up their lives. But if you turn it over to the government and we turn the medical care over to them, and all of a sudden you have vaccinated passports coming up and all these other things and total control by government, and that's why our conference is coming up is dealing, and I've already mentioned at once in this this program was civil liberties is the reason we want to stop this. It isn't the technical reason. We use that to reinforce it, but the real reason is that we want to live in a free country. It's imperfect, but there's more chance of people improving themselves if they have an incentive to prove themselves. A good example of this, what if a person came along, you know, it dawned on me, you know, if you don't work, if you don't produce something, if you don't go out and have a garden and have food, it's really harmful. So a little bit of work is good. And now they have decided that, oh no, if you get a check from government, you don't have to work. Well, is the government going to work? Are they going to produce wealth? No, they destroy wealth by not allowing and kind of convince people you don't need to go work. We're just going to send you a check. So we cut off the production and we take care of people for not working. And that's the way the whole system works when you turn it over to government. And people praise this, you know, that this is a wonderful thing. And it's totally destructive to the society. It's totally destructive to the individual. And I'll tell you what. People get miserable when they're not pleased with what they are doing and accomplishing and producing. And there's a lot of that. And it goes along with this whole idea that there's an epidemic of suicide. And children are susceptible to this at an early age, which is rather amazing. They know that there's something screwy going on. So it's really back to the whole principle of our personal responsibility living in a free society, imperfect as it is, it does reflect the fact that if you want to improve things, you have to do it through volunteerism and with the principles of liberty. And those are the conditions that you have to have the most prosperity and the most freedom is you have to recognize the importance of individual liberty and not think that it's collective. Because when it's collective, then when people get nervous and frightened, then you have the hysteria of a whole society or a whole country begging and pleading for more government assistance until the whole thing caves in. And there will be a reassessment. Let's hope the reassessment of the situation we have today is a new interest once again in these principles of liberty, which the founders actually sincerely tried to preserve for us, but also at the very beginning warned us, you know, if you have an immoral society and they don't care about personal liberty, it won't work. And we're sort of at this stage, and I just hope that everybody joins us in doing everything we can to improve the conditions we have by emphasizing peace and prosperity through personal liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please come back soon.